You're listening to the Horizons Church Podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Or afternoon, or evening, or...
Greetings.
Night just... to you, if you, wherever you are. Yeah, greetings just generally is the probably preferred term.
Possibly.
It's not time constrained.
Yeah,
it's like
true.
Greek. You just say kyrie, greetings, you know? It's just, that's
I like
what
that.
You do, you know? It's simple, it's straightforward, it's to the point.
Isn't, there's a word, oh man, is it like aloha? Is that it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is both the greeting and salutation.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
we should. People in Hawaii, I get it.
I feel like more of our English language should be versatile for that exact very specific.
Why is English such a weird language?
Oh, it is. It so is.
Can anyone answer that question for us?
No.
No.
No, absolutely not.
It's because we're such a hodgepodge of...
It's true.
It's like, well, we have the Anglo roots, but then a bunch of French got smuggled in there.
Yep.
And of course, the Latin and Greek influences.
Too much.
Very strange.
It's too much.
Very strange. What a tangled web we weave. As some would say. All is well with you?
All is well. I wasn't ready for this immediate cold snap.
Oh, no.
But I'm glad it's not, like, wet anymore.
Which is interesting because no doubt by the time this airs, we will be past the cold snap on the day of which we are recording because I know... I looked at the weather app today, and next week, we are going to have a day that will be 71 degrees.
Oh, my word.
I cannot wait. You know what that day is, actually? It's Monday. It's this upcoming Monday.
I need to make Monday plans.
Yeah, Monday plans.
We need to convene.
That's it. We must gather together, congregate on Monday.
That's great news.
Yes,
hope,
it is.
For the listeners, hope you enjoyed it in the past.
Hope you enjoyed it past tense.
I hope you made good use of it.
I hope you, is still warm and that the, you know, we have that early spring that Punxsutawney Phil promised us.
That's right.
You dirty, literal ground rat. It's really all a groundhog is, right? It's just a giant ground rodent.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
I don't know what the technical, you know, classification for that is.
I'm not about to look it up, that's for sure.
At any rate, he said we were going to have a shorter winter.
I'm inclined to believe that, based on my wild lack of meteorological background.
It's a tough word.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yes.
Because I only had to like shovel like twice all winter. I was really not put out by the winter weather this year. So I feel like, okay, we're done, right? We did our time.
Yes,
quote unquote.
Please.
Like, we're good for
some. Please.
It's, yeah, surely.
Yes. Amen.
We're nearing the end of the first quarter. So I really feel like we've.
It's hard to believe.
I know, dude. I'm still like second guessing myself when I write the year and a date. I was like, wait a minute.
Did I
what?
Get that right? Is it the year of our Lord 2024?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, which seems. Somewhat impossible for some reason. But
it does indeed.
Here we are. And you know what else sometimes seems impossible?
I do tell.
Is how to untangle an apparent contradiction when you're reading scripture.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, every once in a while you will come across a text in scripture that will seem to contradict another one. And you can notice I basically italicized that.
Oh yeah, I could hear the italics in your voice. I could.
What's funny is when I was writing this, I just get into writing mode and sometimes I forget that I'm delivering this orally. So I put in the notes, I italicized the word and I drew attention to that fact. I'm like, and of course you made that joke and I was like, oh man, no, this is an oral medium. I'm not writing.
Yeah, we don't put the transcript out.
At any rate, it's true. And then the question, of course, is, you know, what is a good Bible-believing Christian to do when you come across something that seems to be contradictory?
Yeah.
And here's just one example from some reading I was doing a while ago. You could compare and contrast Philippians 3, 8 through 11 and 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. And what you want to pay attention to are the particular words on suffering in the one passage and peace in the next one. Okay. So Philippians 3, 8 through 11, Paul writes, for his sake, Christ's, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead.
I got pretty dark.
Yeah. So especially, you know, you pay attention to, I may share in his sufferings.
Mm.
Like I that's I want to know him and share in his sufferings. Okay.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 2:1-2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way.
It's nice to see that at no point did he decide to start using a period in his sentence. It just goes on.
That's what is hilarious. Yeah, and like the Greek, it's like, oh my gosh, this sentence has been running for like... He's kept the same running sentence since Romans, and we're in Ephesians now. All that to say, of course, yes, if you took these two passages side by side, as we've done, you kind of see you've got two different ends that seem to be at odds with each other, right?
Yeah, same author, very different visions.
Yeah, exactly. Because on the one hand, you have Paul saying he seeks to lay hold of Christ by faith, and to not only know the power of his resurrection, but also to share in his sufferings.
Yeah, I mean, that it does reflect his experience.
Yes, it does. Very much. You know, you just read 2 Corinthians, and you're like, oh, my word.
Yeah.
But that seems to be part of his goal, is like, oh, my goal is to share in suffering.
Yeah.
The sufferings of Christ.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you're reading 1 Timothy, and he's like, oh, you need to pray that we can live a peaceful and quiet life. If you want to put it in terms of, as one pastor did, we should pray that we're left alone in the good way, which sounds like, oh, I'm not suffering for my faith and I'm not being persecuted or et cetera or whatever. So the question is, you know, good golly, if you happen to read those back to back, what should I actually be seeking for and praying for?
Yeah.
Do I want to share in Christ's sufferings or lead a peaceful and quiet life?
That does seem like an easy choice.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm like, oh, Lord.
It's like,
please.
I know what I want. I guess at this point, I'm wondering what I should want.
Yes, yes. What is it I should be asking for? Because those two, you know, I chose this example because of the, I think, kind of laughable absurdity of the difference between them, right? Like, we all know which one we want.
Yeah.
And Paul certainly knew how to be brought low and how to abound.
Sure.
All Christians are called to godliness and contentment wherever they happen to be and whatever they happen to be going through. I think we get that much. Mm. But what we are trying to unravel is which specific end should we be asking for in our prayers? Mm. Should we primarily be asking that we would know Christ by experiencing and sharing in his afflictions? Or which should we primarily be asking that we might live a life of peace and quiet to his glory? And then in answering this question, trying to figure out, is there any help here for unraveling other apparent contradictions in scripture?
Yeah, I think if I was like, just without getting into this further, if I was just at a moment's notice trying to dissect this, I'd be like, okay, Paul seems to mention the suffering as a point of fact. Like, I mean, that's very much his lot in life.
That's right.
And we know how much he went through. But it doesn't feel as prescriptive, maybe, if I'm really trying to stretch that. It's like, but I hope for you that, that it's much easier. Because like the verse in Timothy, it does feel instructive about how to pray and what to seek.
Yeah.
But that's just my guess. I don't know how this is going to play out. That's my running hypothesis. We'll see how that goes.
Well, that's what I like about that approach is you should have running hypotheses because, you know, when we encounter these sorts of puzzles in life in general, but especially in scripture, we also have to heed Paul's words in 2 Timothy, where he said, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything.
It is funny that Paul would say that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like, oh, geez. You know, like as if I didn't need to think over it. Yeah, thanks for that. Because you do. But in other words, like, we're asked to employ all our intellectual faculties as we consider the words of Scripture, precisely because God is the one who gives us understanding as we are reading, considering, and pondering, and hypothesizing. So it's not either or, it's both and. You know, we think God gives. And to your point, when you don't know where to start with a riddle such as the one we're thinking through, it can be helpful to begin with what you do know. And for one thing, we know Paul did suffer. We just know that. Like, oh yeah, that was his lot in life.
Yeah.
But you could even take a step further back from that and say, all right, you could ask a question like, well, what's the chief end of man? Hmm. You know, if we're asking about ends here, what is the chief end of man? Which the Westminster Shorter Catechism famously summarized by saying, it's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We're to render God the praise due his excellency, treasure him more fully to the degree that we know him, et cetera, et cetera. Hmm. Of course, we know God most fully as he's revealed himself through the scriptures. To know and glorify him, it's the greatest joy of humankind. He's the one who made our hearts for himself. They're restless till they rest in him. That's just my Augustine reference right there. You know, okay, so I mean, I'm saying all that as if it's all like old hat.
Right.
Of course, that's all glorious truth. But then you ask, okay, well, how do we properly render praise to God? How do we glorify him in a way that's befitting his character and in line with the scriptures? And although this is a gross oversimplification, of the kind offered by spray-tanned politicians on a regular basis? The answer to that question is it just depends.
That is frustratingly realistic.
Yeah, right?
Like, so is that somehow like the answer to the original question? Like, it depends on how you look at, like, whatever happens, so be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do think that ends up being a lot at the heart of this. So if you take Paul as an example, and you seek to imitate him as he imitated Christ, which is, we've all seen the memes, we know, like, it's, you know, Christ is like this perfectly drawn lion, magnificent, and then Paul, it's like, well, it's a rough sketch, but you get it, and then it's like me trying to imitate Paul and take Christ, it's like
a stick figure.
Yeah, a stick figure drawn by, like, precisely. But he once wrote that his aim was that Christ would be magnified in his body, whether that was in life or death.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got all these puzzle pieces here, you know, Christ glorified in the very bodiliness of a person, either in life or death. And I think you take all that, put it together, try to get the puzzles to make sense. The biblically appointed means for glorifying God can vary depending on the circumstances.
Mm.
So when there's plenty of food on the table, you glorify Christ by feasting on the bounty of the fields and giving proper thanks to the giver of all good gifts, the one who gives us our daily bread. And that's kind of the, let's pray for peace so that we can enjoy a quiet and godly life. That end of it. But then, when you're shivering alone in a prison cell, you glorify Christ by refusing to bow the knee to Caesar in exchange for release.
Yeah.
And that's the, I'm going to share in the sufferings of Christ aspect of the thing.
Yeah. And it's something you just slightly worked in earlier made me think it was like a reference to the end of Philippians. And I'm thinking of it again as that, like, mm-hmm. that contentment in all things, which includes suffering.
Right.
And that version of Philippians includes suffering in that list.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, that does not escape the scope of that. So does that mean to say it's like, it's not really the, like the seeking of hardship, but rather like facing it and taking that on in a way that, despite the circumstance, continues to glorify God.
Yes, yes. I think it's the church fathers, I forget they had a term for this, but they very strongly told Christians, do not go out to seek martyrdom. Like, if martyrdom comes upon you, Christ will give you the grace you need to bear up the martyrdom. There is no guarantee that if you go out asking to be martyred, because people did this. They thought, oh, well, you know, I'm going to accrue a better resurrection if I actually go get myself martyred.
Right.
And then what would happen is by droves, they would get themselves into those situations and then recant or do something foolish.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do not do that, buddy. Yeah. Do not do that. So when we think about it in the terms you've laid out that we're discussing here, I think the answer to our original question is that we can pray both primarily without getting lost in an either-or dilemma.
Hmm.
And I think what we find is we weren't really asking the right question in the first place, which is typically what happens, I think, when you actually come across these contradictions. It's like, I'm not asking the right question to begin with. And when I say here, you can pray for both ends, I mean it in the sense you did, where it's like, I'm not going to go out trying to invite more suffering into my life, but I'm going to ask God, okay, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I know that's got to be part of the package at some point. Like, well, help me bear my cross well. You know, like, may I see my sufferings as a share in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But then also asking, as much as it depends on me and the rulers and everything else, please let us live at peace, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that is much to be preferred. You know, that is the way God designed the world, to
right.
be at, you know, the Hebrew word shalom there, you
right.
know?
Exactly.
And that's going to be the ultimate end of all things, right? Suffering is not an end to itself. And so, take all that together, when we come to any seemingly contradictory text of Scripture, you'll find it works like this a lot of times. Even take the person of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading about him in the Gospels, he seems to combine all these seemingly contradictory character traits.
Yeah.
So, like, we call him the most humble man who ever lived. He said, I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm humble.
Right.
Right. Now, when you think of a humble person, you don't typically think of them saying things like, I am God. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you know, I forgive you your sins, even though, like, well, wait a minute, but he sinned against that guy over there, as in, and then taking on the claim, well, no, all sins are ultimately against me.
Yeah.
Like, if someone talks like that, we don't typically think of them as humble, right? Like, you are an egomaniac. But Jesus combines them both because he is truly man, truly God, both
right.
and. You mm-hmm. know, he's the, well, like John at the end of Revelation, or the beginning of Revelation, I should say, Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where the scroll is sealed and no one can open it, and John weeps, and the elder says, weep no more, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered, he's worthy to open the scroll And he turns and looks, and instead of seeing the lion, he sees the slain lamb. And it's like, which one is it?
Yeah.
You know, roaring lion or slain lamb? And the answer, of course, it's yes.
Yes, the answer is yes.
And so when you come across seeming contradictions in scripture, that is so many times what's happening. It's like, is it this or this? And the answer is normally yes. You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a little longer to think through that and pray through it and puzzle through it. But even though we may not have perfect knowledge, you know, none of us does and none of us will, God will give us enough to make it through the day. Mm-hmm. We have everything we need to know him and his will in order to be saved and to live the life of faith he's called us to. Mm-hmm. So he'll guide us along the seemingly impenetrable walls of contradiction. And eventually, you know, you think and pray through it, you're going to find a door that'll get you through there. But anyway, that was just one example there. We kind of puzzled through that together, and hopefully that can be a helpful model for you all when you're reading and you're like, now wait just a second here. Which one is it? Well, let's, you know, pause long enough to think through that.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, thank you as always for listening. If you have any questions on this or any other topic, or if you know, maybe you have some contradictions you've noticed, you think, oh, that seems to be a contradiction, show me how it's not, you know, you can send those in to podcast@horizonschurch.net. And if you found this helpful and you want to leave us an honest 5-star review in that old Apple Podcast platform, we sure would be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even, it would be a contradiction, an actual one, if you left 5 stars and then wrote, these guys are awful, you know, unless you're talking about, you know, human nature or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But take that as you will. We'll try to reconcile the apparent contradictions. We'll do our best. Well, thank you as always for listening, and we'll catch you next time.